This is a painting with a story of how life changes in an instant, how split-second decisions can change your life forever. This is a painting of two Ukrainians, Nina and Omelan. It's a good name, isn't it? Omelan. And they're together in a DP, that's a displaced persons camp, in southern Germany in 1947. I've been staring at this while I've been painting it over the past few weeks, and I can see him confident with hand on hip, ready for whatever life will bring. She's slightly coy. She's got her head tilted against the bright sunlight, and she's got her hands behind her back. I think that's because she's proudly wearing the blue and white dress she bought from a black marketeer for a packet of ciggies. It's amazing, isn't it? He wanted two packs of cigarettes for this German store dress, but it didn't fit anybody else, and she looked so lovely in it, he finally said, "For you, Ninka!" That was her nickname. Ninka! Just one packet camels! So there you go. She remembers it even now. She's 85 this week. One packet of camels for this beautiful blue and white dress. And here they are, standing together, in love, facing the world expectantly and hopefully. Behind them is the DP camp. You can see the washing hanging from the windows. There's the pipework poking out of the windows. I guess that's for the heating, such as they might have had in those rooms. And in the background, there's a woman with her back to us. And what's she doing? I don't know. But she's not really part of this story, because Nina and Omelan's story started during the war. They'd never met. They came from different parts of the Ukraine, hundreds of miles apart. But they found each other because of a split-second decision that both of them made. It's 1943, and the Soviet army has just captured 100,000 Germans at Stalingrad, and they're sweeping through the eastern Ukraine, and are on the other side of the woods from Omelan's village. And at this moment, he faces a really strange decision. His father has already disappeared fighting with the resistance, and he knew that the fate of civilians was not always clear as the Soviets advanced and retook the Ukraine. You see, this is where the right and wrongs in war become rather blurred. It's not always that simple. The retreating Germans gave Omelan a choice. Stay here now and likely be killed or shipped off to Siberia by the advancing Soviets, or go and work as forced labour on a farm in Germany. And as the fighting smashed through the woods, he chose to leave. And without a chance to say a word to anyone in the family, he was gone. Meanwhile, on the other side of the Ukraine, not far from Kiev, 16-year-old Nina was kept under the watchful eye of her mother. Being out in the village was always dangerous when soldiers were about. But the family needed water. And one day her mother relented and allowed Nina to go to the well as long as she was chaperoned by her 18-year-old cousin. So the two girls were on the way home with the water from the well when they were surprised by soldiers, rounded up and put into a freight train heading west. That night, the two girls planned to escape. This is like one of those novels, except it's not a novel. It's true. It's real life. They were going to wait until the train slowed down, and then they'd leap from the truck and try and make their way back to safety. And guess what? In the dead of night, the train did slow down. So they stood together at the open doorway and stared down at the embankment. The cousin leapt, rolled down the slope, and away into the darkness. But Nina hesitated, and in that split second her life and her cousin's life changed forever. And now you want to know more, don't you? Yeah, of course you do. Well, you see, Nina didn't jump. She stayed on the train and fretted and panicked and wondered what had happened to her cousin and what would happen to her. What happened to her was this. She was put to work on a farm in Germany with other East Europeans, including a handsome chappie called Omelan. And they survived the war, the hard work, the poor food, the fighting, and were finally liberated by the Americans in 1945, where they were sent to this DP, displaced persons camp, we see them in now. And here, they've got a choice. What do? They go back to the Soviet Union and see what might remain of their villages and their families, and perhaps face punishment for having become forced labour in Nazi Germany? This is, after all, Stalin's dictatorship, and he's determined to crush all opposition. And many returning displaced persons were immediately suspect and sent to the gulags of Siberia. So instead, Nina and Omerlan chose to seek a new life somewhere else. Now, there are opportunities across the Allied world, and in particular, Canada, where a number of Ukrainians were opting to go. But to do this, you had to have a sponsor, someone to offer you a job. And without that, there was no way you could go anywhere at all, because you've got nothing to bring you except your hard work and your determination to make something of it. And they were told they would have more chance if they applied separately rather than as a couple. So that's what happened. Pretty Nina got the first sponsor. Of course, a pretty girl always gets the first job, doesn't she? And it was on a farm somewhere in Manitoba in central Canada. About 4 or 5 months later, Omerlan got the offer of a mining job somewhere in northern Ontario. And he arrived there in the depths of winter, worked for a month until he got his very first pay packet. "I need a week off to go and find my girl and get married," he said. "I'll be back in a week." "Well, you better be, mate, or you'll be sent back," said his boss. So it's the first week of January. He caught the 2-day train to Winnipeg. He queued up at the refugee office. He gave Nina's name and, amazingly, found out she was on a farm many hours away. So through the snow, he made his way to her and found her. "This is fantastic. Oh no, it's amazing." You can just imagine the reunion after months apart with no letters and no contact. "I've come to marry you," he said. And with two witnesses, they found a Ukrainian priest who married them. They had one night together, and then he had to head back to the mine in Ontario. Do you know, this is a story of courage and fortitude in the face of something quite unimaginable today. We would have texted or called. We'd have been on Skype. We'd have spoken every day. We'd know where the other one was, what they were up to. There wouldn't be these months of unknowing. Did I say months? Sorry, I mean years of unknowing. Because, of course, there's another part of this story. What happened to the family back in the Ukraine? What became of Nina's cousin who jumped from the train that night? Well, you're ahead of me here, because I know what you would have done. You would have written home immediately, right? "Hey, Mum, everything's okay. I've met this Ukrainian boy. We survived the war. We've got a new life together in Canada." But you see, it's not that simple, because we're in the Cold War era now. Communication with the Soviet Union is patchy. People are scared to contact families in case of reprisals. And so for years, they never knew what happened to their families in the Ukraine. Decades pass. Yeah, decades of not knowing, not daring to write and ask in case. I can't imagine how that would gnaw away at you. In Canada, Nina and Omerlan raise 4 children. They've got jobs, a good standard of living, and all the time they're wondering what happened to the family back in the Ukraine. And then, one day, someone tells them that they've been in contact with their Ukrainian relatives, that they've written, they've got photos, and there've been no reprisals. And so they decide they will write. Can you imagine how that letter was received? For nearly 30 years, Nina's mother had refused ever to speak to the cousin. The cousin who jumped from the train and didn't bring Nina back with her. "You were meant to look after her. You were meant to take care of her. You were meant to bring her back to me." It was that letter, decades later, that told her daughter was alive and had survived the war. And when finally the Soviet Union fell, Nina and her youngest son went back to the village near Kiev and met the cousin again. "Nina, you look the same. I'd recognise you anywhere," says the cousin. "Not you," says Nina. "You look so different. I would never see you or recognise you in the street." Oh, honesty, it can sometimes appear just a bit rude. "So tell me, Nina," says the cousin. "After 50 years, I've been needing to know. Why didn't you jump from that train that night?" "Because," said Nina, "I was scared. My feet hurt. It was a freezing cold night, and I was scared of what might happen." The unknown can sometimes make us move. It can also make us freeze. And that one moment changed their lives forever. We might never recognise it when it comes to us, but most of us could have defining moments in our lives. Probably not as exciting or as dramatic as that, but it could happen to any one of us at any time. So good luck with whatever you decide to do today.